This is a strange time for me. I've always known it would come to an end. I've always been certain that Daniel's prophecy was the key to everything and how the scriptures fit into Daniel's prophecy. I've always known that. Ever since I came up here, and I just did. I didn't teach any of it at first because I had learned it from stuff that when I was young, when I was going to a church that taught that the seventh trumpet rapture, or at least presented it. And so I came up here, and finally when one family left the church that I felt like might give me a hard time, I just went ahead and started teaching it in 1990. I think I began it for the first time in 1960, but I taught it in a different way. And then I really lit in hard on it, on all the churches, and here, when I started presenting the more detailed part of it. But this is love number 9. What I do, I go back and I go over a series, and I look at it and expose it, interpret, present a different exposition of it that says the same thing. That's why sometimes it seems like a lot of heavy repetition. Now, we are, and I don't use any maybes in here, so I'm either going to look like a genius or a fool. And if I look like a genius, the Lord taught me. If I look like a fool, I just didn't get the time right. But the prophesied events in the Middle East are now moving into real time. I didn't put anything out last year and told people I wasn't going to put anything out for until things changed in the Middle East, because everything was out of kilter. And I knew it had to happen, and I knew it was going to happen within Daniel's 70th week. So all of a sudden, about when I started hitting the sixth seal really hard and explaining to people that we were still in the sixth seal, because we don't use the 60-day week, and a lot of the people down through the years haven't used it. So I said, okay, this has got to be 60 week, and all the prophecy people that taught this, you'd be amazed how many people taught this before 1730. They all didn't teach that was the Antichrist in Daniel 9:27. They taught it was either Antiochus Epiphanes that had already been fulfilled, or they taught that it was Jesus Christ. And see, I was taught out in the woods, where all they had was some material from the seminary down in Dallas, Texas, and so I got exposed to it. It wasn't by accident, because all of a sudden, when I went to the seminary down there and they had the Antichrist coming out of Europe and everything else, I said, "That's not right." But I knew that if I argued with the teachers and said things to them about it and everything, I would never be accepted or respected. So I just didn't tell them I never talked to them about it. And when I'd go out to these churches, they'd say, "I know you want to know do it here." And I went back a long time ago, and I'd go up and down all the way across the chart, and I said, "Here's where the rapture's going to occur." And everybody at these churches would laugh, and they'd try to guess what I believed. Most of them said, "He's a mid tribber." And they said, "You believe mid-trib?" I said, "I told you it's going to happen right here." That's all I'd ever tell them. So where'd you get that idea? I think I got it from the Lord. I don't want to give him credit for doing something wrong, but I think I was led to that. I'm not putting any ifs, ands, or buts in here. Prophesied events in the Middle East are now moving into real time. Less than 1,335 days of Daniel's weeks of years are left to occur. Now, Jesus went to 3 Passovers after he went down and started his earthly ministry. when Jesus started his earthly ministry, started it in Jerusalem, and then he went out and he began to preach the gospel. He preached exactly what John was preaching. John was dead by that time. He said, I know that 1,185 days were fulfilled. During the time he surrendered from his ministry until he was crucified. That's a certainty to me. I knew that had to be the case. It was the case. I can prove it, absolutely. It was the case. And so I just started teaching everything up to the seven trumpet rapture, and I began to teach the seven trumpet rapture in 1992. In the church here, but I did it before that in the church, but I began to preach it then out among the churches because I felt like the Lord led me to believe, you better teach them. That's what I want you to do. And so I didn't care what it cost. I began to do that, and the invitations didn't drop off, but I got sick. You're going to swallow a fly into me. Now, we've got 1,335 days of Daniel's weeks of years left to occur. When do I think the rapture is going to occur? I think it's going to occur about the time of the seventh trumpet. And I think what you're seeing setting up over there right now is going to establish a relationship between Russia and the United States and Israel and some of the other countries. And there's going to be a type of peace. And now it says, when they shall cry, peace and safety. Israel has been crying peace and safety for a long, long time. And what Obama did to Israel made me sick at my stomach. Amen. Because they're God's people. And that's their land. And it made me sick at my stomach because I have always believed that there just had to be some little peace in there because Daniel, the last part of Daniel, says it, indicates it. And when Obama did what he did to Netanyahu, I said, this is it. And then I put that thing out there and I said, I'm not going to present any more stuff on this until next year, in January. And then it all happened. And I watched things happen in the Middle East. It just was a dramatic turnaround and change from everything that I had ever heard about red moons and everything else. And so when I saw that, I said, thank you, Lord. Because every time I would start to try to write about that part of it, I would say, Lord, I want to tell them. And no, I just couldn't. I'd sit down, I'd start writing the thing up, and I just couldn't do it. And I said, oh, Lord, what's wrong with this? And I began to think I was out of fellowship with the Lord. And then all of a sudden, it happened. And I think it was God's way of telling me, Tom, you don't know as much as you think. And all of a sudden, I began to realize that I needed to wait, and I waited. Now, I know that we got 1,335 days left to occur. Now, has it already started? Well, I tell you what, that sixth seal, awful lot of stuff in there about bloodshed, and not only is there a lot of stuff in there about bloodshed, he said, for you shall be visited with lightning, thunder, Lord, he mentions all of them. Notice they're all natural phenomena, and notice that they all occur, and notice that most of these people that believe that that when you talk about this part where the sixth seal, that it's going to be bad and it's going to start, they put it a long way off. No, it's not a long way off. Of that I'm certain. For God equipped me for that part of it a long time ago. And the other side, it was what I didn't understand. I'm like, how can this peace get in here with all this war and stuff? And all of a sudden, it's began to happen. Now, I warned a long time ago. The chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, the land of Magog, is Russia. And it also would include, it just includes Lebanon and Syria. And Lebanon and Syria and Iran And it includes that northern territory of Israel, and Meshach and Tubal are greater Syria. So if you want to know where the Antichrist is going to rise, once Israel attacks her, he's going to arise right in that particular area. I warned Antichrist would rise out of Islamic greater Syria to begin an Islamic Middle East oil war. And I did this many years ago when Hal Lindsey was bringing him out of Russia. I mean, was bringing the Antichrist out of Europe. I knew that was wrong. I knew it had to be wrong. The language didn't substantiate it. And over the years, I've gotten to know myself pretty well, a lot better than I did the night I was saved. But a lot of preachers, I don't know, they seem to have an absorbent desire to preach prophecy and make money. I have never been interested in making money. I have been interested in, and I did want to be popular. I did want to be liked and all that stuff because I'm a human being. I didn't realize that I was absolutely, totally depraved. And I didn't realize that completely until after I came up here, but I was saved. And the final war is setting up now. It will again, in the present administration, within the next 4 years, it will occur. And it will be when the king of the south, Israel, attacks greater Syria, which greater Syria would include all the way down to into northern Israel. It would include all the way up into Turkey and through there. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to form a league up there, and they are going to do it. But they know Israel's going to attack them. If Israel thinks their land is threatened, and that's going to happen just about the time of the seventh trumpet rapture. I expect this attack by Israel to occur near the seventh trumpet rapture. So that's the background. And there, you'll be seeing that quite a bit. And then after I go quite a bit on that, what I'll do, you'll turn me around, Mike.
I get you.
I'll show all this in color. And this is something, the first time I ever mentioned this was about, let's see, was about 19, I came here in 1974, and I think the first time I ever mentioned this, in this church, was after that. But I mentioned that it several times and taught it in as easy a way as I could. And I didn't really start bearing down on this until Ray Brooks' wife asked me, some questions about something. And when she did, she didn't seem very impressed with my answers. And Ray told me it was because she didn't believe it. So I thought, you know, maybe that's my clue. Ray believed it. It embarrassed me. But she was honest about it. I appreciate somebody that's honest about it. So I began to try and teach this everywhere. I shouldn't have done it, but God knows I got a carnal nature. He knew I'd be embarrassed, and he knew I'd... And finally I realized, why are you doing this, Tom? Well, I loved what was happening to me. Everybody thought I was to come out of heaven on a pile of King James Version Bibles. And so all of a sudden I realized, this is wrong. And I began to teach it. 1992 is the first time I really began to lay down heavily on the other churches on it. But basically, the way I went about it was to talk about something that they already believed. We had a man named Conrad Glover that was a good friend with my grandfather, Michael Murray. And Papa Mike, when they moved to Batesville, they had a bell cow that ran the church down there. And Papa Mike didn't like to go there, and he wouldn't join there. So he They also didn't believe in a seventh trumpet rapture. So I realized, how can I present this? And I thought, I'm going to have to present the things that back it up. I had learned by that time, when I came across this fact, Luke 11:33 plus Revelation 22:14, I'm going to use this type of scripture constantly. I'm going to use it, not this one, but these colors. And I'm going to present before what I present, basically what I showed you on that chart. Because all the people are in place, it's time for it, and I have tremendous confidence that even though the timing may be a little bit off, that it's going to occur this way. Now, one of the things that I considered was that, Mike, does that need to be focused? No, it looks pretty good, doesn't it? Okay, I'm looking over the top.
I see it pretty good back there.
Okay, good.
Can you read it?
Yeah, I can read it. The New Earth. Conrad Glover, they were good friends, and every time I'd go down through there, he was the man that was revered and respected throughout the American Baptist Association. And I'd go down to see him, and he'd say, "Ho, ho, ho, there's a man that's going to blow up the world." I used to kid me about it. But I learned something that's very interesting. You know how we talk about the blood all the time? How about the blood. How that the blood offer is grace. And the acceptance is when you repent because you see yourself as helpless. And you try to get saved by being good. And your old carnal nature works real hard to make you think you can do it. And then all of a sudden one day, you realize it is the blood. And where is this blood emphasized all the time? Well, it's in the New Testament too. But in the Old Testament, they were blood sacrifices. And they over and over again, blood sacrifice. And I went back through there and I studied blood sacrifices. Then I went over and I studied the bride. And finally I came to understand something. You see, it says, no man when he has lighted a candle putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. People that come in are those people who accept God's grace. And as it says, they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, and introduces himself and presents a case for him to be God himself. So this is a light. Not a whole lot of blood in there, but it's what they understood. When he had lighted a candle, putteth it on a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Yeah, it's okay. Turn me around a little, if you don't mind.
Yep. Which that way we can still get to the...
That's fine.
Which one you want.
You know what I see? Light. Light, L-I-G-H-T. At some time in your life, when God was convicting you, you saw the light. And you came to the light. And God drew you to the light. He drew you to himself, and then he drew you to the Son. They both said so. And you got saved. You say, well, when did that occur? How do I know you're saved? I see light. I've been here now 43 years and I see light. You say, well, what leads to the light? The blood. How does it lead to the blood? One day, your curiosity that drew you to God puts something inside you and you start thinking about something that you have a desire to understand. And so you come down here and you listen to me and you listen to others, and here you are. You say, well, where was the light? I'm looking at the light. You say, well, where are all the other lights? Where'd they go? I just worry about the lights. Because one of the ways you can tell if somebody has a light is their desire for it. A woman has her desire filled by walking as God wants and enduring what she has to do. But the same is true of a man. You're not here by accident. You'd have quit here a long time ago if you'd have been here by accident. Or you'd have lost interest in it. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, listen, that's the way it's always been. You have no idea how many times I've sit in churches and see people that at one time were solid. And now they're all excited in finding the new way because it's less cumbersome for them. You're really accountable for an awful lot when you begin to grasp the fact that the only reason you're here is because God knew you would be here. He didn't put his hand on your head and say, I'm going to send her to hell. I'm going to send him to hell. He didn't do that. That's Calvinism. That's the way Satan has corrupted this for a long, long time. But it's not corrupt, and it's the truth. You have a desire to know the truth. That's why you're so interested in the in the gap theory. It drew you to it. God drew it to you. You're not that smart. I'm not that smart. But this isn't an accident. You two aren't married by accident. God put you together. He really did. If you just get rid of that bathroom picture, you'd be all right. But the truth of the matter is, it's such a wonderful thing that some people never learn enough about it. Learn about it to actually know what they learn, and to actually want to know more. They get more out of some than they do out of others. But here's what I came to conclude. That they which come in may see the light. Here you are. There's a lot of light in you. Well, you love me, don't you? Isn't there a lot of light in me? You say, how'd you get that? God taught me. You say, how much did he teach you? Everything I know that's right, he taught me. I've come up with some ideas. I just thought, Lord, I'm not going to teach that. But I can see where I could have gone on and taught it and might have even felt that it was right. There comes a time in a pastor's life where he exceeds his ability, far exceeds it, and jumps out and starts teaching all kinds of stuff. And if people don't agree with him, he gets mad. I don't get mad if you don't agree with me. I really don't. Because I've learned from you. You say, well, I thought you were special. You're special because you've got the light. And it's the light that's special. And the more you learn about him, he said, take my yoke and learn of me. You want to know what I've learned? I've learned from him. You don't want to know who you've learned from him. You know how he taught you? He taught you by learning more about him. You say, well, that sounds pretty simple. It is simple. But the devil is a master at taking it and confusing it, and he leads a lot of preachers out of the work. And I sometimes wonder if they were ever called to preach. But I wonder. I don't know. I can't tell. Now, the first thing I noticed was there was a river coming out of the city. And as I gathered the thing about it, you could divide a lot of this. If the water was consisted of the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and the people that sought to please God got in to go into the city. They got to stay there. The ones that didn't meet the qualifications that God set up and that God took into consideration, that God winked at this sometimes. The God I know isn't going to send a bunch of people to hell because they never could hear the gospel. And he's not going to send a bunch of people to hell because they don't understand the technicalities of it. I came to understand that during the millennial reign and during the heaven age, the final heaven age, that I like to think I'm a light. That's what I think. I think you're lights. That's what I think. And because I think you're lights, and I'm a light, I don't think we're going to be happy just sitting on our can inside that city. Well, we'll worship him inside the city, and we'll be eternally grateful to him. But I think we're going to find our joy in continuing to do what he wants. I think we're going to be the water that flows outside the city, that comes off the trees, which is one tree, the tree of life. And I think we're going to teach those people outside the city. You say, you think God's going to ever let them come in? I know one man who died, who's dead. Swore up and down, wrote a book about it. And I was introduced to this prodigy a long time ago. And I believe that God is never going to stop creating. I believe that we're going to go on working for him and doing his work forever. You say, what is his work? It's the work he gave us to do by grace. How will we do it? Same way you're doing it right now. You're a light. You say, well, I don't think highly of myself. That's why you're lights. You don't think highly of yourself. That's the truth. Where'd you learn that? You learned it from the Lord. Who taught you? Missionary Baptist preachers that he taught, or preachers from other churches that taught what we teach and believe. We don't take any credit for any of this. We believe God did it. How do we know that? God taught us. Why are you here tonight? God drew you. You say, well, how are you going to tell if my light goes out? Well, you won't come anymore. You say, that's too simple. No, God made it simple. But the devil is excellent at tearing up simple things. Now, this water goes out of the city, and that's us. We go out, in and out, but the people stay out there. Will they one day be allowed to go into the city? This fellow thought they would. He was the president of the seminary in Texas. His name was Kirtland, I believe. But I've never read his book. But Ray Brooks said that to me one day. He said, Tom, he said, I want to show you this scripture. And he showed it to me. And he said, do you know what that means? I said, yeah. He said, you do understand, don't you? And he told me about A.J. Kirtland. And he believed that they would eventually come into the city. You say, are you going to teach us that? No. I'm not going to run something up and down. I like whatever God's going to do. Who taught me that? God. And I don't teach beyond my ability anymore. At least I don't think I do. But that's what I think's going to happen. Do you like that? I wonder why you like it. Because it means he did it all. He did it all. That's what the Old Testament was supposed to teach us. That's the connection between John, who is a part of one of the olive branches, and Jesus, who and the church, which is the other olive branch. That's the connection. This thing's not easy. You say, well, why is it not easy? Because God wants to see if you're interested. You say, well, he already knows I'm interested. But do you? Do you know you're interested? Do you know why you're interested? You say, well, why is that important? It'll keep you in the faith. It will keep you in the faith because you lose confidence in yourself, and pretty soon you don't have any confidence except in the Lord. Now he says that they may see the come in and see the light. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Where is that? Inside the city. And may enter in through the gates into the city. What is the city? Is it a, do you wade in blood in there? Do you wade in the Old Testament blood? Is that what the city is? It is the city of God's light. You're the light. How much light do you show? You say, well, I run up to everybody on the street and say, do you know where you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus? No, that's not the light. You have no idea how many times I've heard good things about you. And I know that they're of God. You say, how do you know? I know, been there. Learned about myself, still learning. You say, well, what does that do? It makes you stay in the faith. It makes you realize this is all real. It's real time. Now, we're going to be talking about that. And I may not get too far in this. But I don't really care. Let's see if I got this right. Yeah. I'm just going to talk about this one. The middle one. Now, I believe that's a pyramid. It can either be a pyramid or it can be a look like this. Some believe it's a pyramid. Some believe it's this. And the high priest could go into here and into here twice on the Day of Atonement. Now, the priest would assemble down underneath here. How holy did God consider this building? I believe it's a pyramid. I had one preacher that he despised me. Over this. And I hate it. But when you know something is true, you don't quit. You realize you're either wrong about something or you're going through a period of testing. Now, if they select the priest, have a scheduled time to go in there. And they go in groups. And when they're going to have the morning sacrifice the next morning, if one of those priests that's selected, they have a regular schedule. And he's a descendant he's a descendant of Levi. And if he has to have a bowel movement, he has to go out the dung gate, which is underneath the temple, because you don't want to defile the temple at all. So it's very holy to him. And I'm going to show how this relates with the church before I'm through with this series. I think you'll like this series. I know it's the study of my, it's the life study of things I've done, of things I've learned, and things that God has used to sustain me at this church. I've lasted here longer than any other pastor, much longer. But it's God that's kept me here. It's God that prepared you to be here. And this church is going to be one of the few left that still, I believe, in the faith when Jesus comes. So don't quit. Don't get discouraged. Now, they have to go out. So, man, you know, you try to hold in, man, but finally you just can't anymore, so you go out the back dung gate. Now, you have to go through a cleansing process. You see, under here was a spring. I learned that from the high priest, the actual keeper of the temple in Israel, when I paid him a visit. I also learned from another chief rabbi that I met on a plane. He was bringing a group to the United States, and I saw him over there. He was an old man, and I went over, and I said, "May I talk to you?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "I'm a Gentile, but," I said, "my mother, my grandfather was a Jew on my mother's side." He said, "Well," he said, "then you're Jew by nature, by lineage." I said, "Well," I said, "I'm looking for the truth." And I said, "I want to know what the truth is." So I said, "Only way I know is to ask people that have had an experience with the Lord." So he said, "Well, you can ask them any question you want." I said, "Are you waiting for the Messiah?" This actually happened. Big old tears rolled down his cheek. I was younger than he was back then, a long time ago. He said, "Young man, you don't know how much I'm waiting for. I think there's going to be some people that are all mixed up that are going to be that are his. And they're honestly looking for him. They're not looking for somebody to come back and make them prosperous. They're looking for God." And I went on back, and from that day forward, I studied this and studied this and studied this. I don't care how many times they have to use the restroom, they have to go out underneath. And after, well, they go up the steps to the dung gate, and I've been back there before they sealed it in. And this was right after the war, or close to it. Well, it was, when was it? Oh, well, I can't remember the exact date. I've got it over there somewhere. And so that would make them unclean. After they go up again, they can go outside. Well, think of how many times they've had to go out that dung gate, particularly if they've got the GIs. You say, "Well, God wouldn't let them take the GIs. Maybe he would to test them." Did you ever think of that? Maybe God would to test them. You say, "Well, he already knew whether they were, how faithful they were." But did they? And do you know how faithful you are? I've learned, I wasn't near as faithful when I came up here as I am now. Man, I got a whole new outlook on this. Where'd you get it? God taught me. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, and he indicated he would. And coming unto him meant, and learn of me. Well, what have I learned? You're looking at it. Why am I doing this tonight? You're supposed to be here. You say, "Well, don't you worry about the people aren't here?" Well, I care about them. I love them. I love them. I really honestly love them. And I don't love you anymore than I love them. But that's why you're here tonight. That's why I'm here tonight. This is what it was all about in the Old Testament. You say, "Well, what about where we are when we come to worship him?" Well, you don't worship him every day. You do, but you don't. But you come down here, and this is a holy time. To me, this is a holy time. This doesn't have anything to do with living or dying. You're his child. You're going to live. You're going to live. You're his child. It's not dependent on what you said or how you said it or how cleverly you said it. But this is the way it was. Would God send all these people to hell? No. Which ones would he send? The ones that tried to do what they were supposed to do, worship him like they were supposed to worship him afterwards. You say, where will they live? You know how they settled? Who was going to get to perform the duties that day? They cast lots. The high priest would stand in front of them, and he would think of a number. Only he would know it. I think they chose three priests out of them, and he would get this number. Then he would say, count. The first one would say, 14. He'd shake his head no. That one was choosing the 14th position. He was choosing number 14. He was choosing number 14. Forget the position. He was choosing number 14. Suppose that is what the high priest thought of. He would point at him and say, you may enter in. Then they'd go right on down the line. Next one would say, 17. Because there was a whole bunch of them. And the high priest would listen. No. He'd keep going all the way around. And eventually out of that, there would be three of them that had the number that he had in his head. He had three numbers. And they were allowed to go in. You say, well, why didn't he just pick them? They let God decide. I've had situations where people would chew me out, and I would just say, well, what did I do? And they'd say, well, it's just the way you control things. I'd say, I repent, and I'm sorry. I didn't know you felt that way. And they'd stalk off. I'd given them an apology. Was I afraid of them? No. Was I afraid they were going to knock me down? No. What would you have done if they had knocked you down? I would have gotten up, just stood there, waited for them to knock me down again. And you say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you're kind of twisted. No, I'm not twisted. How'd you learn that? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What do you think Jesus would have done if somebody had walked up and smacked him or hit him? You think he'd have fought back? I don't. Now this one here is, I want that across there like that. Good heavens, it's after time.
Well, they can get a glimpse at it.
I'll talk about that. This is all about it down here. And this is the actual, this back over here is the church. This back over here is the holy city. I'm going to show you how this all relates to the holy city. And this is all connected to Jehovah God, who made the heaven and the earth. And there are three heavens. And the Lord fulfilled all three positions. Every one of them. So let me tell you how I feel about you. I love you to death. I mean, I just love you. But if it seems I'm cruel sometimes, and I'm short-tempered and all those things, I'm trying. Because I've been chosen to do this, and I'm doing it. So don't worry about me quitting. I get concerned about you quitting. And you know what God bothers me? What he does? He said, I'll take care of that. I don't hear him, but I know he's. And I said, sorry, Lord. Sometimes I overstep my boundaries, but I don't do that anymore. I just want to know, do you understand that God chose you before the foundation of the world because he loved you and because he knew you would choose him? And you say, well, boy, that's super. Brother, it's more than super. It's pure grace. So let's go eat. Okay, well, I'll continue on this.
I'll leave this one back on top.
Yeah, I'll continue on this on Sunday morning.